Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Eric Kinston, who is Professor of Social Work at Syracuse University, a Senior Research Associate in the Maxwell School's Center for Public Policy, Distinguished Fellow in Syracuse University's Institute for Veterans and Military Families, and an affiliated researcher with the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Eric Kinston is also the founding co-director of the Social Security Works, an organization which launched and staffed the Strengthen Social Security Coalition, which he co-chairs. Welcome to Background Briefing, Eric Kinston.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be here.
And your organization, along with Democracy for America, delivered 2.3 million signatures today to the White House. What's the sense of the those who received this package of signatures? What was the response from the White House?
We don't know what the response from the White House has been yet, but what we do know is in really record time, less than a month, most of it in the last couple of days, a number of organizations, the AFL-CIO, PCCC, Democracy for America, the Alliance for Retired Americans, the National Committee to Reserve Social Security and Medicare, MoveOn.org with its 8 million members, they put together a series of petitions that sent a very clear message. Do not cut America's Social Security program. Do not try to pass off a technical change called the Change CPI. Do not try to pass off this as a technical fix. Understand that the public understands it is a cut to everybody's Social Security benefit. Today's seniors, today's people with disabilities, today's children who receive it, and tomorrow's middle-aged people and young workers will all find their Social Security cut if this provision goes forward, which is now, we are told, going to be in the president's budget.
So we're sure of that, right? This is the president is, as many have accused him of being, of preemptively selling out, if you will. And he does have, he does have a strange negotiating tactic, unlike here in Hollywood, where agents ask for the moon and will settle for a lot less. He appears to offer up a lot in advance and show his soft underbelly. And I take it the only way that that makes any rational sense in negotiation is that he already knows that the Republicans are going to reject it. Is that that's my analysis?
I don't know that I agree, but that is certainly one theory. If that's the case, it's an irresponsible thing to be doing. Well, the core purpose of Social Security is to provide core protection, and part of that is a sense of security for the American people and people who are receiving benefits. To play with that, if that's what the White House is doing, to play politics with the sense of security of Americans, especially older ones and people with disability, is just plain wrong. I actually think the White House would like to see the program cut. I actually take the president at face value. He's put this proposal on the table. Granted, the Republicans would love to see him do this. He's put it out as a negotiating tact back in 2011 with Speaker Boehner, and he keeps resurrecting it. It's a terribly unfortunate proposal because, in real terms, it means if your grandparent goes on Social Security today, say at age 65, by the time they're 75, they will receive a benefit that's worth about $700 less in that year alone than they would have. By the time they're 85, $1,200 less. That's real money. I have trouble with the White House. I have trouble with Democrats and Republicans who are talking about these things being just little tweaks, little things that don't matter to people. They do matter. $700 at age 75 is the difference between eating well, perhaps, modestly well, and not having all your meals as that you may want. The average Social Security benefit is a little less than $15,000 a year for seniors. It's even less for people with disabilities and survivors.
Well, that's why it's called the cat food cut, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, effectively, it's really unprincipled. I was a strong supporter of the president, beginning with Iowa. I worked hard for him. One thing I admired about the president very much as a candidate is he said he would make mistakes. He knew he would make mistakes. Well, this time around, he's made a mistake. He said he would make mistakes and he would do something about it. He would acknowledge them and move forward. It's time for our president to do that. Even more important, though, it's time for all of us listening on these radio stations to let our voices be heard with our members of Congress, with our senators. Send them a message. Call into the White House. Call into the Congressional Switchboard tomorrow, 202-224-3121, I believe, is the number. Call them and say to your representative, your senator, you will not stand for having your benefits cut. And that includes young people, because the worst part of this, it's bad for today's old. It's a breaking of the promise the president and nearly every politician made before the election. They promised they would not cut benefits on people 55 and over. And that's what they're doing with this. Worse than that, it's also cutting benefits for people under 55 who are going to be even more dependent on Social Security, because these are the hardworking Americans today who are finding that they don't have enough pension income, housing equity, job security to really plan for a good retirement as they age. This is pulling core protection from the American people, even as we continue to give huge tax benefits to corporations, huge tax benefits to the highest income in our country. It's wrong.
Again, I'm speaking with Eric Kingston, who is professor of social work at Syracuse University, distinguished fellow in Syracuse University's Institute for Veterans and Military Families, and a researcher with the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. He's also the founding co-director of the Social Security Works, an organization which launched and staffs the Strengthen Social Security Coalition, which today, along with other groups, including Democracy for America, handed over a petition of 2.3 million signatures to the White House objecting to plans on this so-called chain CPI. So it's a bit of a mystery to me why the president's doing this, particularly when there's an alternative, a very good alternative, that Senator Bernie Sanders, who was at the White House today with this petition, the idea that even though Social Security doesn't really need a fix, if it does further down the line, all you have to do is raise the cap so that rich people will pay a little bit more. They pay, you know, the same largely as working Americans do. So why isn't that one being offered to the White House, saying, wait a minute, you don't have to do this. You can do this, and it works better, and it's fairer.
Well, the White House knows that. The president, in fact, when he ran back in 2007 and 8, when he was in the primaries and the election, he proposed eliminating the cap for persons earning above $250,000 slowly. Senator Sanders has proposed the same thing. If you did that, various things, you would address a significant portion. Look, we're looking at a nation that's not poor. We've had productivity growth for the past 20 years. The problem is the benefits of that growth have gone to the largest corporations and profits and the highest income people. The average American is losing it. See, what Americans face, which is really difficult, from Washington, there's this consensus somehow among Republicans, some centrist Democrats like the president, that somehow they have to be adults and they have to cut your Social Security, your Medicare, your Medicaid benefits because there's a deficit. It doesn't matter that we had two wars we didn't pay for, a near collapse of the economy because of deregulation. Somehow it's the fault of these programs and the fault of the people who get it. It is so disrespectful. You know, I mean, put it in this frame. My former governor, Elliot Spitzer, opined on, and CNN, everybody knows you have to raise the retirement age. Everybody knows that. Well, baloney. or malarkey, as they say in Washington.
Worse than that, in the second presidential debate, the ABC anchor, she said in one of the first questions, "We all know that Social Security is going broke."
Right.
I mean, I couldn't believe that was happening.
And it's the way it was framed. And so you have people opining in this way, and they're the people who have silver spoons in their mouths. They were born like Mr. Spitzer, a multimillionaire. They look out into the country, and they have the audacity to say that everyone knows you have to raise retirement age. They don't see someone in Akron, Ohio, or somewhere else in the country who's lost a job, or an older worker in their 60s who are limping into retirement, who have sons, daughters in their 40s, who've lost jobs or are taking much lower paid jobs. Everybody does not know you need to cut this program by raising retirement age. What Americans do know, and I think they know very well, is that this proposal, this is not a retirement age proposal, but the proposal to cut the cost of living adjustment is not a technical adjustment. It's simply a cut. And it's a huge cut in the earned benefits of people. And it's pulling apart an institution. Look, we built this system because we wanted to, we, meaning all of our grandparents or parents, the nation, former politicians, they built it because they wanted to provide broad protection against some things Americans can't do by themselves. Protect if they die and leave young children. Protect if they're disabled and have a young family. Protect them when they reach retirement age. The system has really worked quite well. In fact, you look at this recent recession that we're still sort of trying to get out of. Americans lost their private pension protections. They lost huge amounts of equity in their housing. Some lost homes. Some lost jobs. Americans haven't had much in the way of wage increases. The one thing they did not have to worry about was getting their Social Security. Now, that's not to say the system is perfect. Nothing's perfect. Our Constitution isn't perfect. We occasionally make changes. Mm-hmm. Our highway systems aren't perfect. But we don't go ripping up these things when we find little problems. The folks who are pushing these ideas, and unfortunately the president is giving aid and comfort to this, they are trying to pull apart this fundamental system. It's intolerable. I think two pieces that trouble me. One, many pieces. I think the policy's terrible. I think the communication to the public is just awful. They promised they wouldn't cut benefits on today's old. They're right now working hard as heck to do it. They promised that they promised the American they promised that, and then they try to sell this benefit cut as a little technical fix. Well, that's not flying very well today because Americans have gotten pretty clear that this is not a technical fix. This is an excuse to cut your children and your grandchildren's core protections.
And, of course, if we didn't have a system of Social Security, that would mean that everybody in this country would go bankrupt taking care of their parents.
And we have
a situation now where the younger generation, the Gen X and the millennial generation, are saddled with record student debt and poor job prospects. So it doesn't make any sense to dismantle the one part of the social safety net that works. I mean, but let me just we're running out of time here. I want to just get an analysis of what the change CPI actually is, because my understanding is that it's the consumer price index is based on the change to it would mean essentially that you would measure things in terms of people not having buying prime rib for dinner, but having chicken tenders or something, instead of going to the supermarket and getting their prescription filled, they'd get it filled with a generic drug. Is that how they've done it?
Yes, or instead of getting a generic drug, what do you do? Instead of getting a generic drug, you skimp, or you buy something else. It's not a bad idea when you're talking about yachts and Lamborghinis. People who might buy yachts, the price of yachts goes up, maybe they buy a Lamborghini. That's fine. But this reality is that it's a technical change. It would cut the benefit adjustment by almost a third of a percent each year. And if you go out and talk with older people, and I've done this in your state elsewhere, you say to people, did you get a COLA last year? They say, yes. I said, 1.7%? Yeah. And they said, did that represent, you know, now keep your hands up. How many of you think that that represents the impact of inflation? They all laugh. They know that the current COLA adjustment.
That's the cost of living adjustment.
Yeah. Adjustment does not adjust for inflation. And empirically, it's really quite verifiable. It does not count the extra costs of health care and housing that seniors and people with disabilities have. We have a 250 economists and 50 other parallel PhD researchers, academics, signed a letter saying there is absolutely no empirical basis for asserting that the chain CPI represents a fairer or a more accurate approach to adjusting for inflation for older people. The bottom line here is it's a cut. We can dress it up all we want, but it doesn't pass the smell test in terms of it being a more accurate measure. It's simply a way to put a cut forward, and it's really highly inappropriate. I guess I'd like to say, take a look at our website, strengthensocialsecurity.org. Take a look at other websites, Move On, others. There's still a need to sign these petitions. There's a need to call members of Congress. There is a need to go to town hall meetings when your members are in your community, to get on the radio shows that are spewing out the silliness or the ones that aren't. There's also a need to thank your members of Congress, your champions, like Congressman Takano out of California.
Yeah, in Riverside, right.
Yeah.
I called him today to talk about
good.
This. I'm afraid we'll run out of time here, Eric Kingston, but I thank you very much for joining us.
Ian, thank you, and thank you for doing this. It's really important that the public be aware of it, and your program so valuable.
Well, thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Eric Kingston, his professor of social work at Syracuse University. He's also a distinguished fellow at Syracuse University's Institute for Veterans and Military Families, and he's a researcher at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. He's also the founding co-director of the Social Security Works, and he is also which have launched and staffs the Strength on Social Security Coalition. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Nick Guarino. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.